Welcome to the Payments Podcast, where we talk to innovators about how they're reinventing, reimagining, and recreating the payments ecosystem.
This is Eileen Good for Payments.com. Today I'm talking to Rachel Ewens. She is the social media evangelist for Wanelo. Hi, Rachel. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So it's a pretty exciting times at Wanelo, but for those of our listeners who aren't familiar with your site, can you tell us a little bit about what is Wanelo, what does it do, and how does it help people shop?
Awesome. So kind of in a nutshell, the way we like for people to think of it is it's sort of like a digital mall that's on your phone. And that may seem like a weird comparison, especially nowadays when we know that malls are starting to shut down. Traditional mall companies are kind of suffering. But, you know, if you really think about it at the mall, you know, you don't just go to the mall because you need a particular thing. You go to the mall as an experience. You know, you go there with your friends, you go in the dressing room and try things on together. You walk into the Brookstone and look at the weird massage chair. You get fashion inspiration from store displays. So going to the mall is really, it's an event. It's fun. It's social. And so, you know, that sort of social experience has been lost in e-commerce a little bit. It's become a very solitary, kind of mission-driven experience on all these different websites, and it's really fragmented. There's, you know, with the rise of easy e-commerce software like Shopify and Demandware, there's just bajillions of e-commerce sites. So unlike a mall where people had one destination they could go to for a billion different stores, there's not a real digital place for that right now. So that's where Wanelo kind of comes in. So we bring together about 300,000 different stores, and those range from some of the big ones, like we talked about recently, Nordstrom, to little tiny Etsy sellers. So they really run the whole spectrum. We have about 12 million products on the site. And the last time we released our numbers, we have about 11 million users on the site.
And that was in August 2013, we announced that.
Yeah, August 2013, 11 million users. So basically a user can come onto the site, they create a profile, they follow their favorite brands, and then they can also follow their friends as well, which is really great if I want to, you know, my friend Danica has fantastic taste. I want to know where Danica shops. I want to buy the things Danica buys. I can follow her products right there. So there's that social aspect to it. There's the easy ability to follow all the stores. And then on a more functional aspect of it is the ability to just search across all those stores. And some users just use us for that. It makes it really, really convenient if, say, and this is actually a problem that happened to me just the other day. I was looking for a purple bridesmaid dress. Rather than going to H&M and looking for a bride dress, looking at ASOS, looking at Forever 21, looking at Macy's, really, I could just type purple dress into the search bar on Wanelo and search across all the stores, or I could just search in my favorite stores. So it's really, Wanelo is making shopping a lot more fun. It's making a lot more functional and helping with the fragmentation that's out there today. And yeah, it's become a really great tool for stores to socialize with their customers in a place that they're actually there to shop and not there to tweet or, you know, Facebook or anything like that.
And you're often referred to as the Facebook or Instagram of shopping, which is high praise considering how, you know, big both Facebook and Instagram are. How does one become the Facebook of shopping? You know, how do you go from the dream of I want people to shop in a more social way online to actually, you know, hitting the ground and making it possible with 11 million users?
Yeah. So those are comparisons we really love. They are great brands to be compared to. So the way we kind of see it, social shopping has been a really long time coming. You know, there's a social network for pretty much everything in our lives now. We have LinkedIn for our jobs. We have Facebook for our friends. We have Twitter for news. And there really hasn't been a social network singularly focused on shopping. And so consequently, what's happened is you've seen a lot of social networks kind of trying to wedge e-commerce into them in a weird, awkward way. Just this week, I think the news came out that Twitter was, you know, testing out buy buttons on their tweets. Recently, they came out with the news about their Amazon partnership where you could hashtag to add to cart. you know, it's kind of a solution in search of a problem. People, you know, I don't know, me personally, and I would bet a lot of people would agree, they don't come to Twitter to shop. I'm not, you know, I don't think Twitter was probably the first place that you went to search for that flower girl dress. I'm doubting Facebook was probably the place either. And even when it comes to Pinterest, you know, it's really, it's much more an inspiration-driven place. It really doesn't fill the gap when it comes to finding products. So really, it's been building up for a while. People have kind of needed this single purpose. And furthermore, I really think that the issue is that when social media came out, brands really flocked to it. You know, it seemed like a great new marketing channel for them. And it has been. You know, social media is great for brands. It's great for branding. It's great for marketing. But more and more, we're starting to realize that it's really not so great for monetizing. Brands that had thrown tons of time and money into Facebook right now are seeing that they're able to reach less and less people because Facebook is wanting you to pay for your posts. So, you know, that organic spread that they thought they had is not really there anymore. You know, and even when it comes to Instagram, it's, you know, retailers have flocked to Instagram. They love it. But you can't even put a link in an Instagram post. And even if you could, I really doubt it would drive that much meaningful purchasing because you're looking at your picture of your friend's cute pug dog, or you're looking at your friend's food post from breakfast. You're not really there to buy that dress that you saw. You're not even really in the headspace to do it. So it's really just kind of been a natural thing, and the users have really agreed with it. It solves a lot of problems, a lot of inherent problems with shopping down to, you know, product data, product reviews, availability, and we're really trying to solve for those. So that's one of our big things right now is trying to make sure all our product data across the site is as up-to-date as possible. There's nothing our users hate more than they click on a product they like and it's sold out. So yeah, it's been a long, long time coming, and when it emerged, users have really found that it's the solution to the problem that they're having.
And just a quick follow-up question, Facebook, Instagram, et al., they're trying to go for the commerce thing because they have a hard time monetizing their site. You know, that you can get everybody in the world to tweet is great, but that doesn't actually make any money. How do you guys monetize social shopping? Since you yourself are not selling the goods, you're leading people to other places they can buy the goods.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're very close to the products and you're very close to solving a big problem that people have, there are a lot of different ways to monetize. I don't think we've even explored all of the options that we have yet. And brands are always coming to us, you know, wanting to advertise on the network or things like that. Right at this very moment, the way we're monetizing is through affiliate fees. It's almost like finder's fee. If you click on that flower girl dress and you buy it off of ASOS, we take a little tiny cut off that. But really long term, like I said, we're very close to the product. There's a lot of different ways we can monetize.
I'm sure everybody knows. Wanalo is now in Nordstrom's or in select Nordstrom's. So can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what brings a 100-year-old department store and a 2-year-old fashion app together?
Yeah, totally. So one of the funny things I kind of want to clarify on that, and let me make it clear, I'm in no way like distancing ourselves from Nordstrom or anything. I want to pay them incredibly high compliment. Really, Nordstrom has driven all of this themselves. I think chiefly because they're a 100-year-old department store chain, they really have two choices. They can be a relic and they can be old and dusty, and they can kind of go the route that we've seen JCPenney and other old, you know, legacy department stores go, or they can be really innovative and they can stay at the cutting edge. They really have a strategy of going to where their customers are, and that's what led them to working with Wanalo. So if it was as easy for us to just tell Nordstrom what to do and to find and agree with them, believe me, we would have loved to do it day one. They are incredibly analytical when it comes to data. When they started getting into Wanalo, they were analyzing how many saves, how many buys were coming from every single post they put up. They really ran us through the ringer. And what they kind of found out was that, you know, their average product was getting 334 saves, which is huge. It was their fastest growing social network ever. I think they got to about 1 million followers in 5 months, which is insane. They have more products posted on Wanalo than they do on Pinterest. It's pretty epic. So
So really, it didn't take a lot of twisting their arm for them to make this decision. So right now, they have, like you said, the Winnie-Lo trending feed that's running in about 100 of their stores. They're also using a Winnie-Lo trending page that's on their website where users can find the products that are trending on Winnie-Lo. They've just been in ways that we hadn't even necessarily thought of. They've been tapping influencers on our network, so finding people who are really influential when it comes to shoes, and then having those people curate collections of shoes. They know that they have to go to where their customers are, and they can't always ask their customers to come to them. So they've led the charge. And I can tell you since the WWD article came out, many more retailers are kind of coming in to follow in their wake.
Very cool. So what do you hear from your users? You have 11 million people out there. I'm now one of them because I'm buying everything this way from now on.
Watch out because it's dangerous. I think we do warn you in your first confirmation email. So
yes, you
will. It does come with a warning.
New users, what are you hearing from the people that, you know, have been building with you as you're building the site? You know, what are users like? What do users want to see you do next?
Yeah, so I would highly encourage if you want to have like the time to search Winnie-Lo on Twitter because it's kind of hilarious. I think we added it up at one point. We get about 60 tweets per minute. It's really ridiculous, tweets about Winnie-Lo. You know, the things that they're really liking are discovering new products that they had never seen before. You know, like when it comes to a traditional mall, you're really limited to those mall brands. You know, you have your mall in your area, you know, your American Eagle, you know, your Forever 21, you know, but on Winnie-Lo, it's this digital mall with 300,000 stores. And rather than it being like a Forever 21 where they can take their big bucks and buy the biggest square footing in the mall, the way you buy your square footage at Winnie-Lo is pretty much in your social influence. So we have Etsy stores that have more followers than big brands. So I think our users are loving that. You know, they can really express their own style. They can be unique because they're finding products that they've never seen before in their local department store, and they're really excited about it. Things that our users are wanting, you know, we're really trying to refine search, and you might have experienced some of that today. We're trying to make it easier and easier for you to get closer to the products that you need. So that's one big reason that we're pushing with product feeds with retailers right now. We want you to be able to drive down by size, by color, get closer and closer to what you need. I think the other thing that our customers are really loving and that we're trying to do more of is making the shopping experience custom for you. So I don't know if you got to experience the magic feed yet. It's one of the things we have in the very first pages of the app. I like to compare it to a Netflix of shopping. You know, we all love Netflix because it's like we watch a few things and it tells you like, here are more things. And then suddenly you fall down that rabbit hole of
binge watching
Netflix binge. Totally going on a Netflix binge. And 5 hours later, you're like, where am I? we're doing the same thing to you on Winnie-Lo. So basically we're looking at the products that you're saving and we just serve you up a whole bunch more of it. So users are loving it. We're taking all their money and their time. It's great. So we're wrapping shopping around the user. Another great way that they're really digging it is when a store claims their store page, they can start to create collections. So, you know, a store like Nordstrom might have a dress collection, a shoe collection, a men's collection, a plus size collection. So, you know, say I'm a plus size girl, I don't really want to see all the other stuff that Nordstrom has. I really just like to see plus sizes. I can do that. I can just follow Nordstrom's plus size collection and I can kind of define my shopping experience. So, really, we're seeing people take bits and pieces, kind of buffet style from all these different stores and create their custom store. You know, there are certainly other things that we have on the horizon that we're, you know, kind of hush-hush about. But, we're really trying to, you know, encourage users to build their own store on Winnie-Lo.
Today, Nordstrom's 11 million users. Tomorrow, the world. what do you think is next for you guys? Certainly, as you've observed, you know, Twitter is thinking about putting the buy button in there. Facebook has tried a lot of variations on this. You know, so I mean, it seems you're going to have more competition entering the market. So, you know, what's next for Wanilo?
Yeah, so we've just gotten kind of done with a big push when it comes to the Wanilo save button. It's on about 100 websites now, which I really like. It's a small, tiny little button, but it's such a really huge thing because retailers have so little space on their product pages and they really have to make every little bit of it count. So we've seen retailers that are actually removing a Facebook button or removing a Twitter button and putting a Wanilo button on instead because it actually makes more money for them than a Twitter or a Pinterest button might make. When a retailer adds the Wanilo button on their site, they usually see about a 40% increase in number of saves and about a 20% increase in revenue from Wanilo. So that's pretty epic. We got about 100 sites that have put on the Wanilo button now, and among those group are just epic brands. We have Topshop, Forever 21, Nordstrom's, Crate and Barrel. I think we would like to continue encouraging people to think of Wanilo for all products. Really, when it comes to looking at some competitors, like possibly Polywar, things like that, they're really limited to fashion or possibly to home goods. Wanilo is pretty much for everything. And in fact, I wouldn't even say fashion is one of our top areas of products. Really, one of the most popular areas of products that we have on the site is electronics and gadgetry. So I think we'd really like to continue to educate people that Wanilo is for everything. There's no reason that you should have a Pinterest board for wedding inspiration and not have a Wanilo collection to actually turn that inspiration into products. That's a really big area we're encouraging. Like I said, we're continuing to add those product feeds in. So we really want to make the data on Wanilo awesome. So we're trying to enhance that shopping experience. I'm trying to think if there's any other juicy little tidbits that I can add. Let's see. Yeah, you know, I think that about covers kind of where we're headed next. But I would definitely stay very closely tuned because we have, just going into the holiday season, some really awesome stuff that we're hoping to add in.
All right, very cool. And my traditional last question is there anything I didn't ask you about that you would like to tell me about?
Trying to think. I don't think so. The thing I really like to stress with brands is that conversion is really so important. I think that when it's come to social media over the last couple of years, so much of the focus has been on likes and saving and sharing, and that's all really, really great. But I know that the real number that they're concerned about is a conversion rate. It's what's actually making money. So it's hugely important, and I would encourage any retailer to look at the conversion rate they get from Wanilo versus any other site and think about that. And then the other thing that I think we're trying to, on the very flip side of that coin with brands, and this is a weird kind of term, is web rooming. But as we're getting into this kind of omni-channel world, you know, a lot of times shoppers are looking on Wanilo to know what they're going to expect when they're coming into the store, and they're not going in store until they see things that they like coming from that store in their feed. And it's a really difficult thing to measure. We're continuing to look for ways. We know it's happening because we have retailers reporting it to us. We can see users tweeting about it. But I would really encourage retailers to kind of think of this as a holistic part of how they market. It's driving e-commerce, but then they also are driving in-store sales as well.